Good morning. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7, which reads, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows." Joseph had been highly esteemed in Egypt, for by his hand, both Israel and Egypt had been saved. But this history had come to be despised by the far future generations. We read, "Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph, and he said to his people, 'Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war, that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land.' Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and brick and in all manner of service in the field. All this service in which they made them serve was with rigor." Notice God's reference to Israel in our text. He calls them, quote, "my people." "Thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn." And again, "For he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. Even as God has particular grace toward Israel, he also has a peculiar grace towards Christians. As it is written, therefore it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy." The greatest applications that we can derive from our text and our subtext are personal, although we cannot miss the connection of our own national independence. Now, the British, to be sure, were more tax masters than taskmasters. And in that bondage, faithful men cried out to the Lord, and they found and they experienced national deliverance. The deliverance, the freedom from tyranny and bondage, took great effort and much sacrifice. And shall we expect it to be any easier in our own lives? Indeed, sin is a stronger taskmaster than the British ever could be. And yet, notwithstanding, we are proud to be American citizens, but if we have believed in Jesus Christ, then we are prouder still that we have dual citizenship. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself, even sin and death. In our sermon proper, we shall make personal spiritual application of the words in our text. First, that God has seen the oppression. Second, the Lord says, I know their sorrows. Third, and have heard their cry. God has seen the oppression. The oppression was perpetrated by the taskmasters. So it is in our lives. The common cause of oppression in our lives is our own sin. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. Jesus well says, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Now our sin is a byproduct of the fall of man. It is our natural nature, and when sin controls us, we are under its power. We become oppressed, depressed, and without peace. When Cain was struggling with his sinful anger and his lack of peace, the Lord himself reached out to Cain. And he said, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Whenever a root of sin arises in you or I, the Lord himself reaches out after the same manner still today, by his word, through a preacher, by the pricking of the conscience, by the still small voice in prayer, by working out life events a certain way. And if all of these fail, by the woodshed, by divine discipline, and/or leaving you on your own to the consequences. And the Lord hopes and desires that all men come to repentance, that we have the good sense enough to repent and to come back home. And the remedy, we will see that the devil had a hand in this. You choose the way. Do not be duped. For many come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been previously taken captive by him to do his will. All of this is part of the ultimate spiritual battle. Jesus Christ died to free all men from oppression. He defeated sin and death. And this is the great cure, the salvation of your soul, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. The word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses, chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And in another place, the Apostle Paul challenges those naysayers that if you don't believe me, I'll give you the names of 500 brethren that would testify of the same. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most well-attested fact in all of history, and yet some do not believe it. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. And so to this day, we follow his command and we carry out his commission. Is there any reason for anyone to leave this place this morning oppressed by sin still? Friends, I think not. The Lord also says, I know their sorrows. And the sense is that God knows our afflictions and tribulations. We remember the prophet Jonah. And Jonah prayed, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. Now, Jonah had some unique sorrows and trials. The Old Testament prophet was stuck in the belly of a giant fish, a whale if you like. And if he were to try to explain all of this to you, you wouldn't understand the half of it. But the Lord knew Jonah's sorrows perfectly. Even so, I say this to make the point that your trials, although common to men, are unique in their specific circumstances. I would hear you out and pray for you, but not with a full understanding. But if you need that full understanding also, then go to the source. Go to Jesus, who can rightly and truly say that to the very last jot and tittle, I know their sorrows. Friend, God the Son is your Savior, if you will have him. And there is none other to offer you perfect empathy. He is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Jesus is so familiar with your particular case, with your particular sorrows, that it is testified of him in the scriptures that he carried your sorrows. He carried our sorrows to Calvary, out of his great love for you. Our text goes on to say, and have heard their cry. The heathen who worship that which are not gods have their prayers fall on deaf ears. But our God is a living God. And we come to him because he, being alive, is also a prayer-hearing God. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. God has seen the damage that sin has done under the sun. He has seen the damage that sin has done in our lives. The Lord knows that we struggle at times under the weight of it. And he wants to set you free from its oppression this morning. We thank God for gracing us with freedom in this great country. Political freedom, religious freedom, to do as we're doing here this morning and not have to worry that a dozen armed men with guns will come in and break up the assembly. And here, furthermore, slavery has been abolished, and we live in relative peace in every way. But spiritually, it is still possible to simultaneously live in Egypt, the carnal world, and to miss God's greatest blessings. Jesus shows us the way. He shows us the way to Independence Day. And he, being Lord of glory and Lord of all, shall be given the last word this morning. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the freedom which we enjoy, the freedom to choose this day who it is we shall serve, whether it be the gods and idols of this world, the gods of other religions which lie today in tombs, or the living God, your Son, Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven 2,000 years ago and carried our sorrows and our sins, literally outside the camp, to become accursed for us, that we might find freedom through a relationship with he who rose from the dead and set us free once for all. And with you, Father God. May we consider at this appointed season not only the 250th anniversary of this great land founded upon gospel principles, as we have in our first charter, but also the freedom which was made possible 2,000 years ago. Lord, may you speak and witness to every heart according to its need, that none leave here this morning oppressed, but that all may be made free, as we know this is your perfect will in Christ Jesus. And we pray in that great name, amen.